This episode of the Savvy Dentist podcast is proudly brought to you by Clear Aligner Excellence. Market data shows that over the next 6 years, the clear aligner market in Australia will grow by a whopping 29%. That's a huge uplift in aligners, and what we know is there's an opportunity for dental practices to be able to capitalize on that trend. Clear Aligner Excellence is a business that has been designed to help dental practices capitalize on that by helping install proven turnkey systems. These systems are designed to maximize clinical efficiency and outcomes, to accelerate and increase the number of new patient starts, and of course to reduce the overhead of the practice and to increase profits. If this is something that you'd like to take advantage of in your practice, all you need to do is head across to ClearX, clearex.com.au/dentists and register your interest.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. I want to welcome you to our summer series where we go back through the archives of the Savvy Dentist Podcast and bring you our highlight reel, our best of moments. So over the past 6 years, we've had the opportunity to interview and work with countless entrepreneurs, athletes, speakers, authors, and international experts, and really finding out what makes them tick. We unpack that wisdom and we turn that into practical and actionable strategies for dental practice owners to take their practice to the next level. And in this episode, we're going to be talking all about the very best of smart marketing. Now, marketing, as you all know, is one of those things that doesn't get taught in dental school, but it's really critical to be able to fill an appointment book, build a great reputation in the community, and of course, retain patients. Marketing is a subject that's really near and dear to my heart because I used to run a marketing agency, and I think this information is so critical to running a business in today's world. Now, we've got some great guests who share some wonderful wisdom around marketing that we know you're going to enjoy, so I really hope you enjoy this episode, and let's get into it. In episode 318, I had the pleasure of talking with Angus Pryor. Now, in this episode, we spoke a lot about marketing as it relates to dental services, particularly what do dentists need to know about marketing? What can they delegate to experts or outsource to experts? And of course, this is really important to understand what your own strengths are so you can play to your strengths and particularly what you need to do to be informed about marketing so you don't get taken for a ride. Angus has done more than 10,000 hours of marketing with dentists, so we unpick these lessons and we look at all the things he's learned along the way, and there's some real pearls of wisdom in here because marketing has changed and we need to be aware of all the new tools, all the things we need to be thinking about so that we can relate really well to our patients, we can attract those patients into our practice and of course retain them as well. So there's some great lessons here from Angus.
What do you think dentists really need to understand about marketing so that they can be informed consumers of marketing services?
I guess what I would say is, like, unless you're in a country town in the middle of nowhere and you've got no competition, and even that is really not sustainable from what I'm seeing, I just don't think you can leave your marketing to chance. My view is that in life, what we should be doing is playing to our strengths. Now, that doesn't mean that you 100% hand it over to the marketers and you just wash your hands. I don't think that's a good approach either. Mm-hmm. But I do think it helps to be a bit informed. The thing that I see when we start working with practice, often what I see is a pretty sort of scattergun marketing approach. It's the kind of shiny object syndrome. It's especially if you're in a CBD or something, Joe Bloggs knocks on the door from XYZ company and says, oh, look, you know, doctor, we've got such and such marketing in brackets gimmick. Why don't we implement this? And you go, oh, yeah, let's give that a go. Some other person comes along and they try something else. Then I just don't get a sense of that coordinated approach. Mm-hmm. And so I've had really the great pleasure of working with dozens, hundreds of dentists all over Australia and a few internationally as well. I counted recently, Jesse, I've done more than 10,000 hours of consulting with dentists. And this is the themes that I've noticed. Mm-hmm. The dentists that succeed and grow, one, they take their marketing seriously. They don't see it as an irritant. Now, this might sound like a self-serving statement, but I'm not saying you have to come and do business with me, but I think they recognize this is not the 1980s. You can't just stick your welcome mat out and be booked for weeks in advance. That's the first thing. They take their marketing seriously. And the second part is that they are looking for a sort of coordinated approach. Here's the latest data. Consumers are exposed to between 2,000 to 5,000 commercial messages every day. Mm. You drive to work past signage, ads, TV, radio, et cetera, et cetera. And so once upon a time, they reckon for someone to do business with you, unless they had a howling toothache, they'd need 5 to 7 touch points. Touch point could be signage, word of mouth, online, you know, radio, whatever it is, sponsor of the local football team. And the latest data suggests that number is more like 10 to 20 touch points. I get the dentist's kind of analytical approach of, oh, well, let's see the ROI on that one piece of marketing. And I would have been in that camp 5 or 10 years ago. And now I go, I just don't think it's as simple as that. What I'm telling my clients to do is on their new patient form to list every bit of marketing they do and ask their patients to tick all that applies. And I'm looking for the ones that are never ticked. Because what often happens is they say, well, how did you hear about us? And they tick Google. Mm. Well, that's probably the last thing that they did on the back of a dozen other touch points.
Yep.
It's a bit like this thing that Jesse and I are involved in at the moment, the ultimate practice makeover. It's been interesting for me to see, we've been plugging this for the last month or two, that people have gone through the journey of never even having heard of it. And then suddenly they're seeing another email and they see a video. And then people are reaching out to me and going, oh, they moved from not even knowing about something to being vaguely aware of it, to starting to have an interest, to then actually applying. So that for me is the sort of principles that I think dentists need to take in relation to their marketing.
In episode 332, I spoke with Robert Webster from Lana. Now, this particular podcast, again, is something near and dear to my heart because I've been thinking about marketing automation for over a decade and wanting, praying, wishing that something would come along to make marketing automation easier for dentists. And Lana has solved part of that puzzle. Of course, the future of marketing is about using technology in ways that we haven't used it before. It's about using technology to fill the appointment book, how to interact with patients in a really scalable way, but maintaining that personal element as well. So it's scaling and personalizing at the same time. We've found in the past that when we rely purely on humans, we have errors in that patient journey and therefore we get inconsistencies. So what this podcast really talks about is that beautiful blend of technology and personalization so that we get consistently wonderful personal interactions with our patients that are scheduled on time, but personalized. And I think this is going to be the future of marketing and there's something in here for everyone. Here's Robert.
Where do you see the future of marketing automation as it relates to dentistry heading?
Well, I think there's going to be more emphasis on not only just driving people to your website, but being able to capture from other methods. So people contacting, especially general dentistry, being contacted via social media. So a lot of Google My Business requests and things like Instagram, Facebook, people contacting you to try and get into your practice that way. And those tend to be the ones that are not captured as much. Like people have forms on their website or they have booking links on their website, but all the other noise around there don't get the same service, but people kind of expect the same service as in the customers coming to the practice. So that's where we kind of see being able to service those customers in the same way that you service someone that picks up a phone. We want that to be the same kind of across the board. The marketing automation side of that would be basically directing each one of those lines of or channels of communication into some sort of funnel so they do get followed up and also that they get the nurturing that is required in order to make them a booking. So that's where we kind of see the future. And then on the back end of that, you obviously want to follow up with Google review links, surveys, things that you can do internally to improve your process as well.
Yeah, so we're looking at front end and back end, which is, again, really important. I wanted to ask you, because one of the challenges, and obviously you've built software to take care of this, and so we'll explore that in a minute, but one of the challenges I know in our practice, and I don't know if this is a common challenge, I don't know if it's something that other people manage more easily than we do, but one of the you've touched on already, and that is inquiries coming through Instagram, through Facebook, through Google,
my business through the website. The big challenge is for the front desk person or whoever is monitoring that. It is a lot of channels to monitor. And I'm certainly aware that in the last few months, we've lost a couple of inquiries around that. And I like to think we're pretty tight on this stuff. Like we're pretty good. Is that common for people to be losing inquiries or leads?
Definitely. We're hearing if we put ourselves in the position of the front desk person, if they did have to monitor this without a piece of software that was sitting over the top, they would have to have Facebook, Google My Business, Instagram, their web chat, if they had a certain web chat, and their emails open as well to capture anything that's coming off their WordPress website. So they'd have to do all five things. They'd probably have to have separate tabs open. And you can imagine that the templating system that's for each of them is going to be slightly different. So you're going to get slightly different replies per channel. So Instagram might be different from Google My Business, which is going to be different from Facebook. So that's the challenge. So I can see why they would slip past the cracks. You can't have one person doing that.
In episode 271, I had the chance to talk to Will Arana, and we spoke about pay-per-show marketing, which I think is a really good concept because most of the time as dentists, we are paying for clicks or paying for impressions. And what Will's really done is figured out that, you know, dentists don't really care about leads so much, well, they do, but what they care more about is having a patient show up and pay up on the day. And so we're going to talk about lead generation and lead nurturing in the context of dental practice and really why most dentists struggle with this. So this is a blend of traditional marketing, digital marketing, and of course the combination of the two together. So lots of good pearls here from Will Arana.
The lead nurturing process is the other part of the equation, which is as important as the lead generation process in order to get a patient. And it is that's what happens after you receive the lead, which is your follow-up process, your calls. You know, you're doing 15 plus cold calls every week to get in contact with these leads, rescheduling, dealing with people over the phone that don't have money, booking them in, all this process that comes after you essentially get a name on a spreadsheet. The process of getting them to show up to your appointment, that's the process of lead nurturing. Mm. And this is where the biggest bottleneck is found. And this is where dentists actually struggle. Yeah. Not a new patient lead generation. That's not the issue here. And still some dentists do struggle with this. But the majority of people that are doing lead generation, they struggle with the lead nurturing process.
Yeah. So just on that lead nurturing process, because one of the things that, again, with traditional marketing, traditional digital marketing, I can't believe I'm saying traditional digital marketing because for the longest time we talk about traditional marketing and digital marketing. Now I'm talking about traditional digital marketing. But in that essence, traditional digital marketing would involve essentially someone coming to a website, opting in for something or other, having an email sequence off the back end of that.
Absolutely.
So do you still see merit in that kind of process as well, or is it just not really useful too long term? Where do you see that in a modern strategy?
Yeah, so I know we're talking about traditional digital marketing and stuff like this, but I think it's important to difference both different marketing techniques. So just for your audience as well, traditional marketing techniques are like, you know, newsletters, word of mouth, referrals, TV ads, radio ads. These are traditional marketing methods, newspaper and stuff like that. And they're expensive and definitely not as effective because you cannot target your message to a specific audience, right? Yep. The new methods, digital marketing methods, you're talking about social media ads, Google ads, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. From my experience and what I've been able to test, the best is in social media because on social media, we can find the biggest pool of people. So for your audience that is doing social media lead generation and they're running ads on social media or even on AdWords, what they will be doing is they're hiring someone, they're doing new patient lead generation, and then they get a spreadsheet or a Google Sheet and they get sent an email or a text notification with the name of the lead. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to you, front desk or concierge team or your treatment coordinator, to call the leads and get them to show up to your appointment. So the problem with that model is that, like I said, there is a massive bottleneck in the lead nurturing process, which is exactly what happens after you receive that notification and that name on the spreadsheet. Now, I'm not saying that everyone struggles with this, but a lot of dentists struggle with this. I'm talking about 90%.
Yep.
From the people that I talk to, people that call me, that I've been speaking with today and all this week, that's what they don't like about it. So a lot of marketing agencies will just do this. You know, they will just wash their hands after they give you the leads, and because essentially you're paying for leads, and then it's up to you guys to convert them. But very early on, I realized that people were struggling with this, and I knew that I couldn't build a sustainable and long-term business unless I was helping with the conversion side of things and properly helping with the conversion, not just giving you a script that you can use on the phone, but actually taking care of the entire lead nurturing process, which is exactly what we do here at Dental Boss. Apart from generating the new patients, we also do all the lead nurturing, which means that front desk doesn't need to make any calls anymore. They don't have to book the patients. Essentially, you guys just need to service the patient once they're in the door, if that makes sense.
In episode 199, I spoke with Sue Rice, and Sue is an absolute world-class copywriter. She has worked with some of the biggest brands around the world, Nike, Lego, Ogilvy, to name but a few. And what we spoke about really is how to get that humanization element in marketing, because there is a trend, even with all the technological changes, towards extreme personalization. And we wanted to make sure that our messaging really spoke to the human rather than having our messaging sound like a bot or an automated message. We wanted to really connect with people. Now, of course, we need to understand that people don't want perfect companies. They themselves want to be seen as human beings, and therefore they're happy to connect with brands that are human too. So what Sue brings to her copy is how to create that human connection. Lots of pearls of wisdom. I know you're going to love it.
I think, the obvious change is the whole digital world.
Yeah.
It's what's interesting to me is that when I first went out on my own, the whole thing I was doing with companies like Lego and the CEO of Lego, people like the board of Nike, what we were doing was I was trying to show them the real face of their consumer. We would go out on these worldwide trips and we would do these amazing studies about what people were really thinking, what people really cared about. And I feel like marketing, there's always been a little bit of a gap, and it still exists, that where people don't really understand that the people we're dealing with, whether it's at the dental practice or whether it's people that you just deal with virtually, people want to know who we are. They want to be treated like individuals and as human beings, right? And that we don't need to present ourselves as this perfect thing. Right? I think there's a sort of universal concern on the part of companies of any size that we need to protect ourselves as perfect. And actually, people want to see us as vulnerable. They want to see us as human beings. They want to see us as, they want to be seen as human beings, and they want to know us as human beings, if that makes sense. So like there's that whole adding that humanity in there, if you will.
In episode 194, we spoke with Josh Rimmington. Now, Josh is one of the nicest guys in dentistry you'll ever meet, really clever marketer as well. We spoke a lot about metrics, and really, what sort of metrics should people be aiming for, searching for when it comes to their marketing? For example, what sort of SEO rankings are appropriate? What sort of amount of organic traffic would be appropriate? Where are leads coming from? It's really important to not be distracted by vanity metrics, but looking at the key metrics to determine the ROI. And Josh is all about ROI. So you're going to get a lot of really good data and analysis out of this conversation with Josh. What sort of things should people be looking at to assess the effectiveness of their marketing?
Yeah. So basically, you should be looking at key metrics for each type of marketing you're doing and be matching that across to anything that you're actually doing in clinic as well. So for example, key metrics can be like on your SEO stuff that you do, your key metrics can be your rankings, so where you're actually ranking, but then they can actually be your organic traffic. So when you're looking at Google Analytics and you're looking at different traffic sources, your actually organic traffic and how many people are coming from Google to your website, because then you can say, okay, that's directly coming from my rankings to actually achieve that as traffic. And then also on the SEO side, it can be your Google My Business data as well, because that's part of it now. So you're showing up in the maps and showing up in your SEO and actually looking at, okay, how many calls are coming from Google My Business, how many directions and everything else, because that means people are finding you on Google and then actually coming across to either your website or calling you up or getting details about your business. On like the social media side, it really depends on what you're doing. So it can be stuff around likes and all that is generally more of a vanity metric. So it doesn't really show a direct result from it. So when people talk about, oh, my page has got this many likes, well, how many people are actually engaging? How many people are calling? So generally you want to be looking at, okay, how many people are actually taking action? How many people are clicking from social media and going to your website? How many people are reading blogs if you're posting them? How many people are clicking core now directions? A good one now is how many people are actually clicking and messaging on Facebook and, and things like that. If that's your objection. So we've got certain clients that have said, okay, we're finding that we're converting people better if they're messaging us on Facebook. So we'll say, okay, we'll change the ads from going to the website to actually sending a message. And then we can actually clearly see how many people in the month have sent a message from the ads and then be able to track it back. So basically want to identify, okay, what your end goal is, but what's the key metrics that you're actually using to track that end goal? So if you're trying to get more phone calls to the clinic, okay, how can we track it? Are we looking at the data coming from Google AdWords for how many calls? Are we looking, do we have call tracking in clinic? Have we got new patient tracking, different things like that? So it does come down to what tracking you have in place and then also identifying some key metrics rather than looking at everything, because I find that a lot of people will look at all the data and then they'll just get confused by it and say, okay, I really don't know if this is working or not. But if you can identify a couple of key metrics that say, okay, yep, we're getting more calls, we're getting more traffic, we're getting this, then you can be able to clearly identify, okay, yes, this is working. And then actually then looking at it and saying, okay, then it's converting to new patients. It's looking, it's converting to this. So you can start to look at all your data and actually match it up and say, yep, this particular marketing method's working. We can double down on it. We can do more of it. Or let's look at trying something else and tracking to see what we can actually achieve in that one. So it's really about knowing, okay, what are those ones? And that's something that your marketing person should be able to help you with as well, is start to identify some of those key metrics. And then obviously on a monthly basis, when reports are done, I know you helped us with our video reporting and all our clients now get video reports that come out with that. And that's where our project managers can talk about some of those key metrics and actually say, okay, you've got this many clicks, you've got this much traffic, your ads are costing this. So you can start to look at some of those key metrics and then correlate that back to the actual reports and different other stuff that you're doing.
This episode of the Savvy Dentist Podcast is proudly brought to you by Clear Aligner Excellence. Market data shows that over the next 6 years, the clear aligner market in Australia will grow by a whopping 29%. That's a huge uplift in aligners, and what we know is there's an opportunity for dental practices to be able to capitalize on that trend. Clear Aligner Excellence is a business that has been designed to help dental practices capitalize on that by helping install proven turnkey systems. These systems are designed to maximize clinical efficiency and outcomes, to accelerate and increase the number of new patient starts, and of course, to reduce the overhead of the practice and to increase profits. If this is something that you'd like to take advantage of in your practice, all you need to do is head across to clearx, clearx.com.au/dentists and register your interest. In episode 124, I had a conversation with Alan Dibb. Now, Alan is the author of The One-Page Marketing Plan. And what I really like about that particular book is it simplifies marketing down to a couple of key things, key activities to focus on. And it's really about pulling all these things together into a plan and a strategy. From there, we need to look at the tools, the assets, and the processes to deliver the plan. And we spoke a lot about the difference between marketing strategy versus marketing tactics. This is a great episode. It's a great book as well. And again, I'd really encourage you to listen to this over and over and over from Alan.
So the plan is that your strategic plan, you've got your strategy, and that will be, in my case, the one-page marketing plan. So, and then you need to execute on the marketing plan, and that's the tactical element. So the tactical element, there's three major components to it: tools, assets and processes. So I call it TAP, tools, assets, and processes. So tools are the things that you're going to need to make this work. So it's your CRM system, it's your website system, it's some of the things that measure your metrics and things like that. Then there's your assets. And that's probably the hardest thing to put together. But the cool thing about it is once you've done it, it's just maintenance. And by assets, I mean, it's things like your video content, it's your audio content, it's your website content, it's some of your sales letters, it's some of the follow-up letters and things like that that you create. So I've got a concept that I teach, and it's basically that income comes from assets. And finance guys understand this very well. You know, if you own a rental property or if you own shares, you expect to get dividends from your shares, or you expect to get rent from your rental property. So people understand that income comes from assets. But the exact same thing is true in marketing. So income comes from your marketing assets. So you need to spend some good time creating your marketing assets. And then once you've done that, a very important thing is obviously to deploy your tools and your assets. And you do that through processes. And the processes are the things that you do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis. And examples of this might be every week we do a blog post. Every month we send appointment reminders to all our clients. Every quarter we might send, I don't know, a gift basket to our top 10% of clients or something like that. Whatever it is, I'm just making things up there. But once you put processes in place, and especially where those processes do not depend on the business owner, that's when you're really going to have your marketing system pumping.
So in episode 163, I spoke with Penny Burke, and the episode we recorded there was called Why Lovers and Haters Are Marketing Gold. And Penny is the architect of the Not Happy Jan Yellow Pages campaign. So for those people who remember that, that's her work. Now, Penny has three laws of marketing, which she discusses in this clip. And you're going to want to really pay attention to these, because she also speaks about what we want to be known for functionally as well as emotionally, so that we can deliver it consistently and really leverage our position. We need to understand that we're delivering a service, but we're also delivering a feeling. And Penny dives into this in a great amount of detail. So you're going to love this one from Penny Burke.
My first law of marketing is know what it is that you're famous for. Because I often talk about a career in advertising was about building fame for products.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about building fame for teams or fame for your business, whatever it is, what are you famous for? And as I say that, it goes back to both the heart and the head, the functional and the emotional. So what am I delivering functionally? But even more importantly, what kind of fame, what service is this? How do I want someone to feel when they leave the front door having had an interaction here?
Mm.
Are they feeling clever because they didn't pay anything for a service? Are they feeling pampered? Are they feeling confident because they see the same person every time? Are they feeling like they're being a good mother because they're getting the best possible thing they can for their children? How do they feel? So what do we want to be famous for? So good businesses, the first law, know what it is you're famous for, both functionally and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Rule of marketing is deliver it consistently.
Yeah.
Once you know what you're famous for, make sure that you don't have the mohawk happening if, in fact, that's not where the position is. If the position is young, groovy, and you're next to a university, get the mohawks and the studs happening, because that's where you are and that's what it's all about. It's about making that customer base feel comfortable. Knock yourself out. So that is the second rule of marketing, is deliver it consistently. The third rule of marketing is about leverage your position. And by leveraging, I mean once you know what it is you stand for and you are already delivering it consistently, then the opportunity is what are all the added extras that continue to reinforce that this is the position that you occupy, whether that be any of your four Ps, your price, your product, your servicing, your distribution, any of that kind of stuff. How do I make all of that tenfold? And that's really your communication efforts then.
And finally, in episode 166, we spoke with Brent Hodgson about how little tweaks can skyrocket your marketing. Now, of course, Brent is an absolute gun marketer, and we spoke about why you need to know your patients' thoughts, feelings, and fears in order to market to them. It's about getting that message right. And of course, that way you can highlight the benefits to the patient. And of course, we can build genuine relationships that seek to support our patients as they go through whatever dental treatment they need. We've got to understand what's going on for them emotionally so we can provide the
the best possible care and service to them.
On the one hand, you've got your cosmetic dentistry people. They're a totally different type of patient than remedial dentistry people, who are totally different from the ongoing dentistry people, the clients that you would bring in. So from that perspective, the conversations that you're likely to have or the things that you're going to need to highlight and potentially hide for an ongoing dental patient is going to be different from someone who's a remedial dentistry patient. So you might want to talk about, I suppose, being more pain-free or being more accessible, being more easy to book an appointment with for someone that needs remedial work versus someone that wants a more ongoing relationship. Those sort of conversations might be about trust. They might be about security. They might be about your credentials. They might be about your approachability. They might be that you're not going to browbeat them for not flossing every day.
Yeah.
You know, those simple little things, the conversation changes depending on who you're actually speaking to. So I think that one of the first points here is to have a look at the different types of customers that you're dealing with and then have a look at what they want and what they want to avoid. And if you can hide the stuff or minimize the stuff or overcome the stuff that they want to avoid and really highlight the things that they actually want access to, then all of a sudden, then you're going to have a much more natural conversation with these people. The weird thing is a lot of this stuff, you immediately think, all right, so what do I change about my messaging? Okay, so how do you actually make pain-free dentistry part of your messaging? Well, you would use the words pain-free dentistry. Another thing that you could potentially do is have a look at your imagery around your website, for example.
Yep.
So your imagery, does that actually reflect pain-free dentistry? Does this reflect fear or anxiety? Or does it reflect a more comfortable, more easy approach, more confident approach? The imagery that you've got around your website, that can make a really big difference to people's engagement with the website or in your marketing or in your brochures or in your business cards or your next appointment cards that you've got.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of our summer series. Be sure to stay tuned for more best of moments and to learn from the wisdom of our many incredible guests. We drop our podcast episodes weekly into our Facebook group, so be sure to join if you want to stay up to date with our latest resources, announcements, and content. You can join our free Facebook group at Savvy Dentist on Facebook. Just search it there, and we look forward to seeing you in the group.